myself. So tonight, our preacher, our preacher. So I've known this guy since 2018. It's a while. I first met him on a youth event that we did here called United We Stand. And I remember because I walked in the door timid and afraid, and he came up to me and he was like, "Hey, how's your journey?" And I will never forget that first interaction with him. I have it vividly in my head. I have told him before that I will follow his vision to the ends of the earth, and I will always, because I love him so much and I'm so excited for what he's going to bring. My brother, Jesse Burrell.
Thank you. Oh, did I just cause that? That feedback? No. Hey, how you going? That's my catchphrase, apparently. How's your journey? I'm pretty deep like that. Any other introverts in the house? There we go. That bass frequency's gone. Yes, we like to just go straight to the meat of it. No, like, "Hey, you doing good? Hey, you good? Yeah, great." Like, it's like, "Well, that was a waste of my life." No, let's get to the stuff. Well, our theme this term is why we do that. I live a lot of life around toddlers, and they ask this question all the time. Why do we do that? Why? But why? And I love it. I give them like a university level answer to things, and they're like, "Oh, it's good. It's good." But we're talking about why do we do the things that we do as church? The traditions like water baptism, the practices, they might seem a little bit weird, especially if you're not used to being in church. And so I thought it would be really cool to talk about why do we do these things. And tonight, I'm going to talk about why we worship. But in order to talk about why we worship, we need to talk about why we pray. But in order to talk about why we pray, we need to talk about crazy kids' songs on the internet. We spent a couple of months up in Noosa on a bit of a sabbatical, which is a long holiday. And while we were driving to and from the beach, we discovered a whole bunch of new music for the kids. And we listened to all sorts of crazy songs like Baby Yoda Chicky Nuggies. Anyone familiar with that? Yeah. The Best Burrito I've Ever Eaten. Yeah. I know these are all bangers for the youth, aren't they? No, if you're three, this is the best song in the world. And I had a long chat with Jordy in the car going, why do some of these songs suck? But some of them are actually pretty good. And I thought, is it the production quality, right? You know, the awesome synth sounds, electronic and well-mixed. And I was like, no, that's not it. Because you can have a really well-mixed song and it's like, eh. And then you can have this real rough as guts thing and it's just like, that was an epic song. And I was thinking about it and I've come to a realization of what makes a great song. The song needs to have a story. If it's just a repetitive song that goes on and on and on, it doesn't really mean anything, and you listen to it once and then you get over it. But if there's a story involved, even if that story is about a little Tonka truck that went up a hill and then broke down and someone fixed it and it went down the other side, it's a better song than Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do-do, Baby Shark, right? So I want to show you a song, but it's the story that brings meaning to the song. In fact, I believe it's the story that brings meaning to anything that you do. I've done a lot of research in a lot of different areas, right? Neurology, the study of the brain, biology, psychology, anthropology, the study of social and cultural interactions between people. And in all of these different studies of people, they all seem to arrive at the same place, which is that fundamentally, underneath everything we are, is a story. More fundamental than your skin and bones, more fundamental than the matter and energy that put you together, is the story. Who are you? Why are you here? What are you doing? It's so important. When you pick up an object, you don't say, this is a bunch of matter, right? This is a bunch of paper molecules. You don't see that, do you? You see a cup. It's a device that has a role in a story. It's a tool that you can use for something. When you see the chair that you're sitting on, you don't see a clump of fabric and plastic. You see, oh, that could rest my legs. Oh, I could spend some comfy time there. I could fall asleep when Jesse's preaching. We don't just see objects. We see members of a story. You don't see yourself as just a human creature. You are a character in a story. Your friends, everyone you know, and everyone you don't even know is a character in a story to you. When I was younger, growing up, I used to daydream a lot. Who daydreams? Yeah, good. I'm not alone. I used to spend so much time thinking about stuff. Fantasizing, pretending, lying in bed for hours, imagining I was in Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever, or Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief, whatever currently gripped my attention, I would imagine that I was a character in that story, that I was someone who would save the day or rescue the princess or fight a dragon or be the chosen one or catch them all. We love these stories and we imagine ourselves in them. And I thought, as I was growing up, that maturing is when you stop putting all of that fantasy stuff there. You put all that aside and you get on with your life. And so I did it less and less. But I've now realized that the reason why there is a part of us that wants to go there is because we are not just a bland person who does tasks. We are a person in a story. We are a character. We have a role to play. And we are searching for a story that brings meaning to our life. You hearing me? It's making sense? No task, relationship, or achievement that you make has any meaning if there's no story behind it. And what we are crying out for is to find our place in the story of the universe, which is God's story. Why are we here? It's history, or it's His story. I don't know if that's a coincidence or intentional, but the entire universe is God's story. And you don't actually have a story by yourself. You are actually a part of a greater story that's bigger than you. And I think that aligning your story that you believe and live and tell yourself every day with God's story is the same thing as being spiritually strong and spiritually healthy. And so, like Elijah spoke about last week, we can learn about God's story through the Bible. It's this incredible story, 66 different books written over thousands of years that happen to tell one incredible story. I mean, J.K. Rowling did pretty good. But she didn't write over thousands of years with different authors and come together with a story that she did. The Bible is pretty unique for that. But while we can learn about God's story in the Bible, how do we get that story into us? Because you live a story every day. When you get up out of bed in the morning, you're telling yourself a story about who you are, about what you're supposed to do, about who you're supposed to be with, where you're supposed to go in your life. You're telling yourself a story. You can't not. It could be a depressing story. It could be an optimistic story, a triumphant story. So when I was really into Clash Royale, who plays Clash Royale? Oh, yeah, good. I've switched back to Clash of Clans temporarily, but we'll see how we go. And there's a YouTuber called Sir Tag. Who knows him? Sir Tag, Tag. He's very, very good at Clash Royale. And he streams himself playing it, and I used to watch it a little bit. And what I loved was every time he lost a game, he would say, all right, time for the comeback. Like, this is the redemption arc. Let's go. And he'd go straight back into a next game. Like, he didn't let a loss bother him at all. He's like, nah, this is my redemption arc because I'm part of the story, right? There's little things like that that you do all the time, every day. The way that you talk to yourself, that's the story that you're living out. And we want to change that story so that it aligns with God's story. Make sense? Now, we do that through, you might have seen this coming, prayer. We pray. But not just any kind of prayer. We can't just shout at the sky or mutter under our breath. We need intentional, meditative prayer. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says this. This is about the Bible or the scriptures of his time, but we can apply it to the whole Bible. It says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. We've got to meditate on God's word to get it into us. Make sense? So what is meditation? I'm sure you have about 100 different ideas about what that could be. Meditation, despite what the movies will tell you, is not emptying your mind. It's not becoming hypnotized or getting into a trance necessarily. Instead, meditation is focused attention. The kind of thing when someone hands you a Where's Wally book. Does everyone still know what Where's Wally is? Yeah? Good. We haven't lost that to the cultural generational shift. So when someone hands you a Where's Wally book and you've never seen this particular page before, you're like, where is he? No, that's his dog. The wizard? Yep. Oh, but where is Wally? And you're paying focused attention. You are meditating on the book. And that goes away once you find the answer, right? Once you know where Wally is, you open the page, your eyes just immediately, like you read Where's Wally a second time, it's nowhere near as exciting. Because you know, you don't need to pay attention like you did the first time. But the first time, you're just completely focused on finding Wally. That's what it means to meditate on something. Now, you can actually buy your story from God. He's selling it. Do you know what it costs? You've got to pay attention. The more attention you pay to God, the more you will receive from Him. You like that? It's pretty good, eh? Jesus meditated with His Father, God, all the time. I've got a bit of a slide that Lisa will help me prepare about just some of the verses in which we look at this. When Jesus would go away to spend time with the Father at the beginning of the day by himself at night, spending a whole night praying. Sometimes he'd go out 1, 2, 3 times. There's 3 verses in the same chapter where he would go and then he would come back and then he would go and then he would come back. Then he would go. Jesus really prioritized meditative prayer, seeking God with focused attention on things. Now, why would the Son of God need to do that so much, do you think? Why would Jesus need to do that? Could it be that he needed to go to the Father to see how he could live out God's story on earth? He had to check in every day. All right, this is what I've done. This is where we're going, but what do I need to do now? How do I align myself with the will of the Father, the story of God? I've got to act in line with it. I've got to think in line with it. I've got to talk in line with it. The Son of God did this all the time. So how much more do you and me need to do this? Yeah? Not just on a camp at Forever Free, woohoo, once a year. No, 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 all the time. The Son of God did this almost probably every day. I mean, we see it all the time. It's very important for us to do as well. So, you're probably thinking, how do I do that? What does that actually look like? I've spent 31 years asking that question, grown up in church my whole life, and heard a million things on how to pray. But tonight I thought I would try and piece together the framework in which I use to pray that's the best that I know so far. Because I think it could really fast track you and help you know that you're doing the right thing, yeah? There's four things, four steps in how to pray like this. Number one, we need to figure out the reason for the prayer. Why do I need to go to God today? Do I need to figure out what to do next? Do I need some guidance, some direction? Do I have a problem that I need to solve? Is there a part of my mental health and my self-image that's not right and I'm hurting and I need to take my hurt to God? You got to figure out what's the reason. You can't just say, God, please fix all my problems. Those kind of prayers don't really work. Have you noticed? Have you ever prayed it? No, no offense. I've prayed it many times. God, just please help something, anything. I'm on life support. Those prayers, they're not really effective. So we need to get, what's the reason? Why do I need to go to God today? There's a reason every day, but you need to know what that is. What does your story need right now? If you were to think about the story that you're living, what does it need? That's your reason. So you figure out the reason. Then the second step is another R word. You need to relax your body. I know, super spiritual, isn't it? There's so many ways that you can do this. You can do some breath work. You can have a hot shower. You can do some exercise or stretching. The monks in the temples, they would used to hum, like, It's really relaxing if you ever tried it. I don't know. In the shower, especially with the echo. Oh, it's good. You can do like a gradual mindful relaxation where you focus on peak parts of your body and just say, relax, my scalp, relax my scalp, eyebrows, relax. And you go through literally all the way to your toes. You might fall asleep by the time you get to your toes, but it really works. Like it's legit. You want to relax your body. You don't want your body to get in the way of you hearing God, right? And if you've got a bit of an ache or you're not comfortable or, you know, your body hasn't worked out in a while, you're probably not in a great position to receive from him. So we need a reason and we need to relax. Then the next thing is we want to settle down and reset our mind. So you can do this by focusing on something that you enjoy. When I was in Noosa, I would just picture myself riding that wave, just surfing in the beautiful waters, not a cloud in the sky. But it could be anything. It could be you in front of a warm campfire. It could be you snowboarding on Hakuba, Japan slopes. It could be you eating an ice cream under the shade of a tree on a hot day. I don't know where you want to imagine yourself. It doesn't really matter as long as it matters something to you. And what you're doing is you're building your secret place. And you should go into detail, like what's sitting on the drawers if you're in a room, like what color is the bedspread or what kind of trees are around. Put as much detail into this as you want because you want a focused attention on one thing rather than a distracted mind on all the issues, right? Because we're resetting by focusing on our secret place. And you think, oh, that's just in my head, right? But this is a very real place. You are legitimately creating a place that exists in the universe, in the realm in which you hear God's voice. It's not just pretend in the loose sense of the term. It's real. And the more you go there, the more effective this place will be. And believe it or not, that place is actually a bunch of unique brain cells in your mind. So there is actually a living entity in the universe that represents that place. We often think our mind is like, it's not physical, but actually a part of our mind is. Things that are stored in our brain are real things and they're alive. So own this place. I used to think secret place, shmeekret place, like, yeah, whatever. No, it's real. And the more you go there, the easier it will be to focus your mind and relax your body and get yourself in a position to receive from God. Because that's what this is all about. It's receiving from God. I used to think, I've spent a lot of time figuring out how the heck do you hear God's voice? People talk about it all the time. God spoke to me. Did he? Spoke with what vocal cords, man? I thought he didn't have a body. Did Jesus' vocal cords appear into existence and speak to you? Like, what do we mean when we say God spoke to me? And I used to think that talking to God was like a FaceTime call. Like, oh, I need something. I'm just going to plug it in. Speed dial God. Oh, that's a Skype sound, isn't it? Hey, God. Hey, look, I've got this issue. Can you please help me, you know? And as if God was sort of like, oh, Jesse needs me today, you know? Oh, yeah, what's the matter? Oh, what? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you should do this. Like, we think of God like a person like that, which isn't wrong to do. But in my experience, that's not how God speaks. Because he already knows what you need. It's not like a FaceTime call. It's more like you just hop on Instagram, scrolling through, and you see God's reel, and he's like, hey, Jesse, what? Yeah, you. What? This is a pre-recorded video. Yeah, I know it's a pre-recorded video, but you need this, right? It's like God has made all of the reels that you need for your whole life, and they're on his feed, and you've just got to pay enough attention to find the one that you need. Man, that rhymed. It must be true. Right? We are actually discovering what God has already said. That's what it means to hear from God. You don't need to wait for him to speak. He's always speaking. He's broadcasting it to the internet, effectively. That'd be good if it was legit, right? Just subscribe. Daily morning, yep. What does the creator of the universe want today? Well, that's what I'm talking about tonight, is being able to do that, right? So we want a reason, a reason for my prayer today. Then we want to relax, do whatever you need to do to get relaxed. Reset your mind by focusing on your secret place, and then you open yourself up to receive. You wait. You bring your question to God. God, what do you want from me today? What's my responsibility in this story? What's my role to play? Am I Indiana Jones today? Like, what am I? And then you wait and let your mind do its work. And it's scrolling through the reels, finding, this is the one. And this idea will pop in your mind. You'll realize things that you didn't know before. And that is the voice of God. If you practice this regularly, like maybe every day or every couple of days, this is literally a cheat code for life. You will be able to solve problems no one else can solve. You will be able to form new habits that no one else can form. You will be able to hold together relationships that are just incredible and deep and rich. And you will achieve things that people consider superhuman. Like literally, they'll go, how are you so capable? How is your capacity so great? How are you so fit and healthy and on top of things? It's because I know how to dial God. I know how to focus my attention and understand my part in his big story. Yeah? All right, that's part one of my message. Now that we understand prayer, let's take a look at worship. Now, this is a different view on worship that you might not have thought on before, and there's many, many things we could talk about with worship, but you'll probably see where I'm going here. Can you see how worship can be like prayer? Meditative, intentional, focused prayer. Think about it. Our songs have specific topics. Our songs are usually about something. And so there's a reason embedded within each song. Then when you sing in a rhythm, you're taking breaths at timed intervals as you get all the lyrics out. When we jump up and down, you know, we're doing a bit of exercise, or when we raise our hands, it relaxes us, stretches us out. There are things that we are doing to relax our body, and we don't even realize it. When we darken the lights, right? People have this ongoing war forever whether the lights should be on or off. I say they should be off because you know why? It helps you relax and focus on God. It legitimately does that. Do you need lights to be off to focus on God? No, but it helps. Even fancy lights, like that nice blue around the drum kit, it's like, yeah, Jesus. Like, it's just like, it's pleasing, you know? It's something to go, yeah, like I can, it's just putting me in a good place to receive, right? And then think about the beautiful sounding music. You know, those melodies and harmonies and the synths that make you cry and the bass. No, oh, Jeff. Oh, I love hearing him play bass. Like when that comes in, it really helps you reset your mind and focus because you're not thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner or what happened at school or what I got to do for work next week. No, you're just in the moment of the song. And so all of a sudden we've got reason, we've got we're relaxed and we've reset our mind, and all of a sudden we're just in this position to receive something from God when we come together to worship corporately. And no wonder that people say they encounter God in worship. Like they have a physical experience with like, God touched me. God had his arms around me. I felt him hug me, or I just got all really warm like I was on fire or something. No wonder we have these experiences because your body, mind, and spirit are all aligned, ready to receive from God. That's why it's so important. It's why we've stumbled across it. It's why churches just love it. They don't even necessarily understand what it's doing, but we just figured it out through trial and error, starting with the organ, and then people thought drums were demonic, but eventually we won that battle and brought that in, and then we had a big battle about electronic music, and now that's in. Like, we're just figuring this out, but as we go, we're adding things and doing things like this. Like, that's a bit weird. You put your hands out, or you raise your hands, or you sway, or we just jump in unison. Like, how often in your normal week do we all jump together? It's weird, but it actually works together to help you receive from God. And the purpose of receiving is what? It's aligning your story with his story. Yeah? So I want to practice this. Can the band jump up? I've got a bit more to say, and I'm going to talk again after one song. But I think you might approach this song a little bit different to the start of tonight. So yes, the lights are going to be down, and the music's going to be on, and maybe you've already jumped around at the beginning of tonight. But I want to encourage you to stand up. You can stand with me now. And maybe you want to lift up your hands, or maybe you want to close your eyes, or maybe you want to kneel down on the ground. You kind of just do what feels right. And the lyrics of this song are a prayer, and they can be your prayer. So I don't want you to sing along to a tune. I want you to pretend that you wrote this song because you wanted to say this to God. And as we're going through this song, when you feel like you've focused your mind, maybe you want to start creating a secret place in your mind where you go to meet with God. And when you feel ready, I want you to stop singing along with the song. And I just want you to open yourself up to receive from God. And what you need to do first is figure out, well, what is your reason? Do you need direction to figure out a decision? Do you need to get to know Him? Do you need to solve a problem? Why do you need to seek God today? We all do, but why do you need to? What part of your story is not making sense because it's not aligned with God's story? And when you figure that out, and after you've worshiped for a little bit, let's open ourselves up and see what God drops into your mind.
Nothing else. just want you and nothing else, and nothing else, Jesus, nothing else will do. I just want you, I just want you, I just want you, I just want you. Pull us into your secret place, Father.
desperately want to put ourselves in line with that tonight, to capture your words and embed them in our hearts. You can start out doing something like this for like 15 minutes in the morning. You don't have to be here, you can do it wherever you want. But don't be surprised if your 15 minutes turns into an hour, because you can just get lost. And God's just revealing and revealing and revealing and revealing, and you're just like, wow. And what you want to do when you're finished is you want to write some things down. And the best way to remember anything is to summarize it in your own words. You know how the teacher always says, don't plagiarize, summarize it in your own words. Because when you do that, you're making it yours. You're making it a part of your story. And so I want you to remember what God has showed you tonight. And then I want you to write it in your own words to make it a part of you. You might want to stay up tonight when you go to bed and just write it all down. Get it all out. You might want to put on another worship song and go back into your secret place. But I do have a part three of my message tonight, but don't worry, this one's not so long. But if you want to stay in your secret place, you can stay there. But if you want to listen up, you can do that too. You see, each time we do this, this meditative prayer and worship, your story gets a little bit closer to God's story. And when we come together to praise and worship Him, it's the intersections of all of our stories combining into the story of His church. And when you bring your little bit and I bring my little bit and we all bring our little bits, we're actually creating something together that shows the glory of God. His glory is His goodness, His awesomeness. And when we come together and we sing together and we lift our hands up together and we kneel down together and we jump together and we spin around together, all of these things are creating this combined expression of how good and awesome God is. If you were here last week, we did the song I'm Free, I'm Fearless, and Micah led the bridge. He started to sing, ain't nothing gonna keep me down, ain't nothing gonna keep me down, I give my praise up. And the whole room just went, yes, me too. Ain't nothing gonna keep me down, ain't nothing gonna keep us down. We're gonna give our praise up to God because He's so good. Nothing can weigh me down, nothing can stop me from praising. And we all just together got louder and louder and louder and jumping. And it was like, wow. This is a little bit of what heaven is like when it touches earth. That's what can happen when we all bring our stories together in a church service and we all choose to praise God together. And there's an argument that maybe a lot of this stuff is symbolic. You know, when you jump together, it's symbolic of being united, but I question how much of the symbolic is actually real. Like, can you have this without doing this? When we're praising God together, saying, ah, He's the greatest. And there's only one. Just, ah, you know? Every good thing that I've ever been given, I got because He gave it. You just spit in fire. it's not hype. It's the glory of God coming out. We're not doing it because we want to look good. It's because we can't help but express and overflow that God is good. And the more that you go to your secret place and pray and worship God, the more that you won't be able to help just spilling it all out when we get to come together and praise Him. And it does something in us that nothing else can do. Secret place for hours, but I did feel like we should come together and praise Him like we often do to seal the night. And you take that revelation that you just got and that little piece of God's story that you just got, and you bring it up the front, and we just pour it out to God again together. Could we do that tonight?